Order today is May 6th, 1 p.m., and just a reminder, we will not be meeting tomorrow or Friday, and I'll be driving a car tomorrow, I think, to over to DPS to see if anybody needs a car. Representative Wissnam, I know, council.
Coming back.
Okay.
I need my own car.
Okay.
Do you have a sense of how long that's going to take, just so that I can adjust my calendar?
We'll be back by 3.
By 3, okay.
President Courtney, please. And Ronell Schenkel. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 280.
Chair Barker, members of the House Judiciary Committee, Vice Chair Wissanant and Vice Chair Stiegler, and other members too numerous to mention. My name is Peter Courtney, and I live at 2925 Island View Drive North here in Salem. 97303 is my zip code. I'm a state senator. I represent District 11, which includes parts of Salem, all of Jervis and Woodburn. I come here today to support Senate Bill 280, which involves cockfighting. In the February supplemental session 2008, I introduced Senate Bill 1072 to close loopholes that existed, which allowed dogfighting perpetrators and spectators to escape punishment. This bill passed unanimously in both chambers. Now it has given law enforcement agents another tool to use in their struggle against animal fighting. This particular bill, which I introduced this general session, does the exact same thing as Senate Bill 1072 did for other animal fighting, most specifically for cockfighting. I have a tender spot in my heart for animal cruelty. I learned through the advocates that there is a major loophole existed. I agreed to help them close this, so I introduced this piece of legislation to make Oregon less welcoming place for those who consider forcing animals to fight each other as an acceptable form of entertainment. The bill is simple. It makes the penalty for attending cockfighting or other animal fights a Class C felony. Right now it is a Class A misdemeanor. It matches the law then for dogfighting. Because of the growing concern about animal fighting, Oregon law enforcement agencies have even sponsored several investigating illegal animal fighting courses in Madras and Salem over the last several years. I'm joined here today by such officials and experts of the Humane Society who will give you specifics on the incidences and the magnitude of these types of entertainment that goes on in my beloved state, your beloved state of Oregon, my Oregon, in which I found, to my dismay back in February, was shockingly high, since a lot of it goes on in my own backyard. This bill addresses a real problem and closes loopholes. Now, according to LFO, because I said this when I went before the Senate Judiciary Committee, I said, well, if there's a significant financial, I call them financial, it's another word I can't pronounce, fiscal, I can't stand that word because I can't pronounce it. So I say financial, I guess the bill's dead. So for all I knew, the bill would never get out of the Senate, but I have here minimal expenditure impact by the LFO in terms of its analysis of what this bill does in terms of its cost. So I hope you'll be willing to consider this bill. I do appreciate the fact you're willing to even hold a public hearing, and I also appreciate the fact you're even willing to allow me to come here and testify for the House Judiciary Committee, which if some of you would be interested, and if some of you are not, I'm going to say it anyway, was my favorite committee when I served 7 terms in the House. This was my committee of committee. I consider the Judiciary Committee to be the greatest calling in life to serve on a Judiciary Committee, much higher calling than Ways and Means, which I cannot stand, and Revenue, which I just think is an unnatural act. So I sincerely mean it. I spent hours in this room, as well as other rooms, as a member of the House Judiciary Committee, and I always wanted to be chair of the Judiciary Committee. Never got to do that, not that any of you care about that either. But I do consider it a high honor and privilege, sincerely so, to go before any Judiciary Committee. And so, Chair Barker, thank you for even allowing me to come here today and speaking my mind. So thank you.
More than welcome. Thank you. Any questions, President?
Chair. Mr. President, we're always looking for talent on the House Judiciary Committee if you'd like to come back.
That's some sort of remark about the rest of us? I understand.
Check his bills.
We do.
I got a list.
No one has any questions for me?
Is there a question you'd like us to ask?
I'm hurt that none of you wanted to comment about what I'd said and did here. But I'll live in that hurt.
Mr. Chair, it is exemplary, Mr. President.
Well, I don't know if that's sincere or not, but I'll take it for what it is. Thank you. That was nice you say that.
Yeah, I got a question.
You're very welcome.
Okay, Representative Smith.
Do we have information about how much of this goes on?
Chair, Mark, you notice how you do this. You address the chair, then you go to the representative. So watch how I do this. You can learn. You, Representative Garrett, in particular, watch what your father taught you to do. Chair Barker, Representative Jeff Smith. Otherwise, you'd just be another Smith. I made reference to that in my testimony, if you were listening, that when I was startled that the sheriff's offices, particularly, I remember Clackamas and other areas coming forward saying, there is a tremendous amount of this going on in this county, in the county north of this, and in this area. Also other parts of the state. It actually surprised me until I realized I could take a little drive east of here, and I got to be careful because my wife comes from the area, and I used to see these little houses and little places, mm-hmm. and I always wondered what was going on. I mean, I thought they were for bunnies or something like that. Well, that's not what they were for. I'm going to be your friend. That's not what they were for. And so I don't have the expert testimony, but there are those who do. This is not a problem that a solution looking for a problem. It does go on. It has gone on in the state of Oregon. It will go on. And I just want to add one other thing. You know, this isn't just entertainment. There is drug involvement in this stuff. There is gang involvement in this stuff. This is ugly. There's a lot of criminal activity going on around this fighting. It is not just the horror of animals tearing each other's shred or slicing each other up. The criminal elements involved in this are big, big time, and I'm serious about this. So that's what makes this a very serious matter to discuss. I thank you for the question because you didn't want all this, but I'm going to just get into it. So the bill, as much as I just can't stand the thought of sharp devices ripping into animals or tearing it, ripping at each other, the thing I didn't understand, and there is a former state trooper here, as others, law enforcement figures who've been around a long time who could comment on this, the Representative Krieger and Representative Olson, there are bad animals, bad actors surrounding this activity who bring a lot of different types of criminal activity in this. So you want to shut this stuff down. You want to shut this stuff down. But a lot of it is going on much more so than I realize, Representative Smith, in my own backyard, and I don't have all the incidences. They grow the animals here, they fight the animals here north, and so it's not just, I think I'll just do this because it's a feel-good thing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Chair Barker, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Ron L. Schenkel, here today on behalf of Attorney General John Kroger, who was unable to be here in support of Senate Bill 280. And dare I say, I started out testifying in front of House Judiciary and Mr. Courtney at the time, Representative Courtney and now President Courtney, but we won't go into that. We do support this bill and agree with the President that there is a loophole in Oregon's law in that we have different penalties between our dogfighting and our cockfighting laws at this point. We believe that the passage of this law will be a deterrent, and for us it is most on point because it does tie into drug trafficking and other organized crime. Partially in answer to part of Representative Smith's question, one of the things that I have a copy of and we're happy to leave with you is a copy of the news release that came out from the U.S. Attorney's Office in March of 2008 related to 51 defendants in Oregon and Washington which were prosecuted for this very crime. And as you read through this, you'll see that it involved all sorts of other criminal activity in these indictments. There were 12 separate cockfighting incidents that occurred throughout the state of Oregon and a couple in Washington. There were 14 defendants involved in illegal gambling businesses. There were forfeiture of property. The list goes on and on. So it's not simply getting together an animal abuse, which is unto itself a criminal issue, but it's all things that happen in the audience related to that. So we are very supportive of this. Oregon would be joining 15 other states if you pass this law. And the other thing I wanted to point out is the Department of Justice does actually have a hotline in our organized crime unit and our criminal justice division. And we have done some press in the past about the fact that we do accept tips on cockfighting and dogfighting so that law enforcement can better follow up on those types of activities.
Representative Smith, Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The 12 incidents in Oregon, were those in 1 year?
Chair Barker and Representative Shields, there were 12 fights, as I understand this press release, in Oregon and in Washington, and they ranged from March of 2006 through January of 2008 when the activity was then taken to stop it.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, President. One of the other things I just would say is my daughter, who was counsel two sessions ago, is a prosecutor in Portland. She had a case last year, a murder case that arose out of a dog fight where somebody thought somebody was cheating and up gunning down a mother of four on the front porch in Representative Shields' district, as a matter of fact. So it does go on, certainly on beyond just the animal cruelty aspect. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chair. When I say exemplary.
Okay. Scott Beckstead, Sharon Harmon, and Doug Harkelrode.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, my name is Scott Beckstead. I'm the Senior Oregon Director for the Humane Society of the United States. For the record, I live in Sutherland with my family. The Humane Society of the United States strongly supports Senate Bill 280. We believe that it is an animal welfare issue, but it's also a human safety issue and a public health and safety issue. I would like to address Representative Smith's question regarding the incidents with some anecdotes that I'm personally aware of. For 4 years, my spouse served as the animal control officer for Lincoln County Sheriff's Office and was involved in a cockfighting raid there in Lincoln County that netted about 36 fighting roosters. And that raid also involved large amounts of drugs. There was all sorts of interstate felonies involved. It was a significant crime. Since taking the position with the Humane Society as its national animal cruelty caseworker, my spouse has been involved in cockfighting raids all across the country, and she says without exception, in addition to the fighting roosters that are seized, there are also usually large quantities of drugs, illegal weapons. I would encourage the committee to look at this not just as a necessarily a cockfighting or animal welfare issue, but as a means of getting at even bigger, more serious crimes. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, my name is Sharon Harmon, and I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Humane Society, a local animal welfare group unaffiliated with the Humane Society of the United States. Little PR plug there. I'm not sure I can top President Courtney's speech. Are there any questions, really? The man speaks with such passion and accuracy as to the sadistic nature of cockfights and also to the suite of crimes you find associated with cockfights. These are guys betting on which rooster dies first with the razor strapped to its leg. They're between drugs and gambling. These are not good members of society. You can find a felony crime in any one of the activities at a cockfight. We just like to bring cockfighting in line with all the other animal fighting statutes. If you go and you pay to see animals fight to the death, it's a felony. That's the end of my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Smith.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And I'm not sure the best person to ask this question of. And feel free to all punt and wait and defer to somebody else maybe who testifies. But there's been a concern that I know members of this committee have had, and we usually bring it up with bills we don't like, and I want to bring it up with a bill I do like, and that is, how do we know when our fiscal impact statement is, you know, the best representation of reality, and do we have full confidence that, or do we worry that it is, that there might be something else going on? One thing you could do to explain to me, and maybe other members of the committee have the same question, If this is happening a lot, how is it that it won't cost us anything to police it? Or is it just because we'll be policing other things that are happening at the same time or taking from whatever? If anybody can help me understand that, and I say that not because I don't like it, but I do, and I intend to vote for it,
I think,
but because I want us to be honest as we can be.
Chair Barker, Representative Smith, I think that's a perfect segue into...
Yeah, I waited until Senator Courtney left before I asked the question. I'm sorry, say that again?
I was going to say that your question, I think, is a perfect segue into Mr. Harkleroad's testimony.
Great.
My name is Doug Harkleroad. I'm the retired Lane County District Attorney, and I represent the Oregon Anti-Crime Alliance. We support Senate Bill 280, Chair Barker and members of the committee. What I actually think is these are rare cases. There aren't that many of them. Certainly when I was in Lane County for 30-plus years, we saw almost none of these. We didn't see them on an annual basis. So there aren't very many. So the fiscal seems about right in this particular case to me. It's not going to be a big impact. In addition to that, making it a felony doesn't mean they're going to prison. I didn't bring my sentencing guideline grid here, but we've had those discussions before, and I believe this is a presumptive probation case. And so whether it was a misdemeanor as it is now or a felony, it's still, generally speaking, a probation case, whether it's to the court or to actually have a probation officer. Now, if you do it enough times, you can get there to prison. Two last things, if you will. Spectator versus participant. The truth is they're all participants. They're just participating in a different way. And so if you go there to watch a cockfight and bet on a bird to kill another bird, which is appalling to me, you're a participant. And so spectators need to be the same as participants, which is a felon. And the last thing, it makes it a lot easier for the district attorneys, in my opinion, on the rare case when they get these, to manage this litigation and try. You don't really have to sort out so much whether they're the participant or the spectator participant, because the penalty's all the same. That's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions?
Following up on Mr. Chair, Representative Smith's comments, of course, the President of the Senate said he was surprised at the revenue impact. Your statement is there isn't much of this going on. His statement was a tremendous amount of this going on. Now, wait a minute. Is there or isn't there? If you had one of those and you went there and you arrested 30 people, that one case could have a fiscal impact to that county and the prosecutor. We all know that. It's not accurate. We all know that. We're beating around the bush. I've brought this up in every committee, the inaccuracy of the fiscals this year. And we're trying to do the right thing. We don't like what's going on. But when the fiscal office does not give us accurate fiscal because they're not given accurate information, it causes us not to have the foundation to make good policy. And I'm going to continue to hammer that home until we get it through people's head that it's not acceptable.
May I respond, Chair Barker?
Sure.
Chair Barker, Representative Krieger, members of the committee, I wouldn't indict people on most of the fiscals that you get because the standard in the criminal justice system is a lot higher in making those decisions about charging people with crimes than the fiscals that you folks get, I think. That's just my opinion about it. But it's really hard to get an accurate fiscal. I mean, you can ask those folks how they do it, but it's very difficult for them. But I think I'm agreeing with Representative Krieger about the ability to get an accurate fiscal here. My comments are based on what I saw come through Lane County. And I agree, if there's a big case and there's 30 of them, there's going to be some impact there. And certainly an impact on the DA's office and the police departments, for sure. And if it's a state police case, then you have a state fiscal, which I think is what you folks are primarily concerned with. But my experience is that these are relatively rare cases. You could go to the OGIN system and probably figure out how many cockfighting cases come up. I didn't do that.
Yeah. Chair. Nobody condones this. Just doesn't. Go back from the dogfighting bill when we had it. But can you talk to us a little bit? And I think I spoke to you about it.
this type of activity is actual cultural a little bit within the Spanish community. They fight chickens and they fight bulls, and that's part of the culture they bring up here. And what are we seeing? Do you have any idea? Yeah.
Mr. Chair Barker, Representative Krieger, members of the committee, it does not have cultural boundaries. And one cockfight raid I participated in, only about 10% of the defendants were Hispanic. Huge operation. There was over 200 people arrested that day. Back to your point of how big is this crime? Yeah, I don't really have a good answer for that because these people tend to stay underground. It's hard to find them. If you think dogfighting is elusive, cockfighters are second close behind. They know this is illegal. Unfortunately for them, it's hard to disguise the, 50 to 100 dead birds at the end of the day. With regards to fiscal impact, if it's presumptive probation in the sentencing matrix, my interest is how do we track these people? How do we make sure that their crimes add up to something at the end of the day? This is a sadistic. It's not a sport. And I hope no one uses the phrase blood sport. This is a crime that needs to be shut down.
No question. Chair Barker, could I just add, when President Courtney talked about the large numbers of cockfighting cases in the county surrounding where he lived. I mean, the big case, and I think it's probably the case that Ms. Harmon is referring to as well, that was a case that was actually involved federal agents. They were moving birds across state lines, so it brought in federal authorities and was not prosecuted at the state level.
Any further questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 280. Reopen the hearing.
I apologize. I ran back up to clarify a few things. Chair Barker, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Sasha Pollack. I work in Senator Courtney's office. I just wanted to respond to the questions about the fiscal. I just want to clarify. This is currently spectators at a cockfight are charged with a Class A misdemeanor, which is a $6,000 $500 fine or a year in prison, and it would go up to $6,250, and it would go up to $125,000 5-year prison class felony. These people are already committing a crime. The problem that the folks have when they bust a cockfighting ring or a dogfighting ring, we found, is everybody claims to be a spectator. Nobody has their hands on the bird, so nobody is charged with that, and that was the reason we wanted to close this loophole. These people are already engaging in a criminal act, so they're already being investigated for these crimes currently. This would simply, as you heard from the law enforcement folks, give the DA or the law enforcement folks another tool in the toolbox on charging people and actually making something stick in terms of organized crime, drugs, weapons, and then this animal cruelty issue. So I just wanted to make sure that that got on the record.
Good. Thank you very much.
And I can answer any other questions if there are any.
Thank you.
And just say for the record, I can certainly imagine a scenario in which something is happening a lot, but it's secret enough that we don't catch very many, and that by having a little bit added tools for law enforcement and in settlement negotiations, that it actually might not cost a whole lot more money, but it might provide a lot of deterrence, right, for the behavior. So I don't think that's necessarily inconsistent, but I did want to cover it.
Thank you. Thank you. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 280, and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 398.
Senate Bill 398 adds equine abandonment to the crime of animal abandonment. It changes the standard for abandonment from continued care to minimum care. It excludes equines from definition of domestic animal and defines equines. There's no revenue impact, a minimal fiscal impact, but no statement issued.
Next, Ed. Darla Clark. Betsy Jones, please.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, once again, my name is Scott Beckstead, Senior Oregon Director for the Humane Society of the United States. I was actually first brought on by the Humane Society back in June to help establish the Dutchess Sanctuary in North Douglas County, which is an 1,120-acre sanctuary for horses. Shortly after beginning that activity and then being named State Director for Oregon, I became aware that there was a growing incidence of horses being abandoned around the state, primarily in cases where people were struggling to pay for their animals and were simply turning them either into other people's pastures, out onto public highways, public lands, et cetera. What we learned was that in the existing animal abandonment statute, it is not a crime to abandon a horse. It is a crime to abandon a dog or a cat. It is not a crime to abandon a horse. So Senate Bill 398 simply adds horses and other equines, so that would be other members of the horse family, including donkeys and mules and so forth, to the existing animal abandonment statute to send a message that it is a crime to ditch your horse, to basically turn it loose and make it into someone else's problem. Now, there was when this bill was on the House side or the Senate side, there was some initial furor by some of the livestock people and farm people because they worried that the bill might reclassify horses as something other than livestock. So there was actually an amendment passed out of the committee over on the Senate side to clarify that horses still remain classified as livestock. It simply adds equines to the existing animal abandonment statute. So it is a problem. And the other thing that I would like the committee to be aware of is that there are options out there for people who are struggling to take care of their horse. There are programs available. There are programs whereby people can get help with hay to feed their horses. There are ways of finding a new home for your horse if you can no longer afford it. But to simply turn your horse loose into someone else's field, or turn it loose out on public lands, or tie it up to someone else's horse trailer at the county fair is irresponsible and simply makes your problem someone else's problem. So we would urge passage of Senate Bill 398, and I'm available for any questions.
Okay, thank you.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, my name is Darla Clark. I'm a resident of Douglas County. I'm a property owner there, small business owner. I'm also the founder and director of Strawberry Mountain Mustangs, a nonprofit horse rescue organization. From every one of those aspects, we support Senate Bill 398. As a property owner, I do not want to deal with someone leaving horses on my property. Somebody may say, well, just euthanize them. That's kind of hard for me to do. If someone drops off a sick horse, I'm probably going to take it in, and I'm going to take on the vet bills, and I'm going to try to make it better. As a business owner, we own a boarding facility. I'm concerned about my clients' horses. If someone drops off a horse in our parking lot that has some sort of contagious disease, all it would take would be for it to walk down the aisle of our barn, and it could easily infect every client's horse in that barn. That's a huge concern. There are ranches in central and eastern Oregon who use horses as their, so some places here use a ATV or a truck. I mean, these horses are part of their livelihood. If those herds are infected with some sort of disease and that rancher is down the working stock that he uses every day to run his cattle operation or whatever, that's a huge financial impact on someone. As the director of Strawberry Mountain Mustangs, it's something that we're dealing with more and more. We picked up 3 abandoned horses in December in Douglas County. On the way up here today, I talked to our local animal control officer, and he has yet another who is temporarily housed at our shelter. No one's coming forth to claim it, and they're looking for solutions. So Senate Bill 398 is just, in my mind, it's a common sense thing. It needed to be done a long time ago. I don't think that people realize that it wasn't already a law. We fully support it. Any questions? I'm willing to answer.
Do anybody have any questions? Okay, go ahead.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, my name is Betsy Jones, and I'm with Eleni Smith Government Relations. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association to testify in support of Senate Bill 398. Glenn Kolb, the executive director of the OVMA, wanted to be here today but was unable to make it, so I'll be testifying on his behalf. Due to the tough economic times that we are all facing, many owners are finding it difficult to care for their animals. As a result, there's been an increase in the number of horses being abandoned and left to fend for themselves. The OVMA believes that most of these owners have no ill intent. Rather, they are not aware of alternatives, and they don't know who to turn to for help. It is very important for these owners to be aware of their responsibilities and understand and recognize these responsibilities in taking care of these animals. There have been concerns that this legislation sought to change Oregon's legal definition of horse from livestock to domestic animal, and this is not the case at all. The amended bill confirms that equine will remain under the definition of livestock. Senate Bill 398 simply says that it is illegal for a person to abandon an animal in a location without providing minimum care. The OVMA hopes that the passage of this legislation will bring attention to this issue and alert the struggling owners of their responsibility and their duty to seek assistance as needed. We would appreciate your support.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Scott, you and I talked about this, I think, before. But could you just kind of revisit with me why this is only limited to domestic horses and why you didn't maybe consider the cattle side of it as well?
Because there's still a market for cattle. It's as simple as that. There's no market for horses right now. Okay. And for people, if you've got cattle that you cannot afford to feed, you run them down to the auction and someone will buy those cattle. With your horse, you take your horse down to the auction, there's a very good chance no one's there to buy it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Scott, I've talked to you. I've got a lot of people in my district that are having difficulty with their, they have horses on their ranch and they're, you know, losing their ranch. So the $2,500 could be a big problem. So a few questions. You know, did we talk about the level of the fine? Two, did we talk about a campaign to make people aware of, like, the Strawberry Mountain Ranch and other efforts, community service advertisements? And three is, how about llamas? That's another big hobby in my district.
Chair Barker, Vice Chair Wisnant, on the issue of the fine, I think really what the bill seeks to do is send a message that there are consequences if you make your problem someone else's problem. For example, turning them out. I mean, there was a case out in eastern Oregon where 14 horses were found turned out on the middle of a highway. There a case in Klamath Falls where there's a large and growing number of horses that have been abandoned on the hills outside of Klamath Falls. It creates a public safety. Three of those horses in Klamath Falls, by the way, have been hit by semi-trucks in the middle of the highway. So you're really creating a major problem for somebody. It would be my position that the fine is appropriate. On the issue of what programs are available, Ms. Clark and I have been active in leading a group called the Oregon Horse Welfare Council, which is a statewide group of concerned horse people, including people from the horse rescue community, from the breed groups, the Oregon Horsemen's Association, the OVMA, the state veterinarian, all dedicated to helping people who are struggling to take care of their horses. And in particular, we've created the Oregon Hay Bank, which is a program whereby if people are struggling and they meet certain conditions, we will take them hay. No questions, not no questions asked, but if they meet the criteria, we will take them the hay. They don't have to pay anything. So there are, I guess what I'm saying is there are options. On the issue of llamas, I have heard some anecdotes of llamas being abandoned. I simply have not heard it on the same scale as horses. I think, horses have been aggressively overbred for decades. And now we're in a position where basically the market has collapsed and we've got an overabundance of horses in relation to the number of homes that are available. It's put rescue organizations like Strawberry Mountain Mustangs in a very difficult position because at the same time that the demand for their services has grown, people willing to donate have dwindled just because of the hard economy. It's sort of a perfect storm. So what we want to do is let people know that, A, there are consequences, legal consequences, if you abandon your horse. But B, there are options available. There are people willing to help.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, panel.
Thank you.
Sharon Harmon and Doug Harker, please.
Chair Barker, I'll go ahead.
Thank you.
Members of the committee, my name's Doug Harkelrode. I'm the retired district attorney in, from Lane County, and I represent the Oregon Anti-Crime Alliance. I'm here today to support Senate Bill 398, making the equines part of the animal abandonment statute. And the reason for that is that these are big animals. People shouldn't just get to turn them out on property, as you've heard, and I shan't go into that in any detail. I do want to tell you, though, that my wife and I have been longtime horse owners until we lost our last one here last year. And so these animals are special animals for an awful lot of people, and that shouldn't go unnoticed. They tend to be pets for a lot of people, just like dogs and cats. Concern about a $2,500 fine is this is a B misdemeanor, and that's the maximum fine. Judges can take into consideration the financial circumstances and other circumstances when they decide what sentence is appropriate, and rarely, in my experience as a district attorney, are maximum fines imposed, it's much more likely that a much lower fine will be imposed. Community service may be used, and I just thought I might clear that up. So that's all I have.
Thank you.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, I'm Sharon Harmon, Executive Director of the Oregon Humane Society, a local animal protection organization unaffiliated with any national or local group, including the Humane Society of the United States. But we're here today in agreement that Senate Bill 398 is a good idea. Why? Let's talk money. Anyone interested in that? Horses are an expensive luxury. Expensive. If someone takes a horse and abandons it, I can tell you for our office to go pick it up and care for it, that $2,500, that's going to be gone in the first month of care. We have five horses right now in care, and they are $250 each a month to care for. And they're healthy. Maybe they're a little too fat. We do love our animals. But they are healthy animals. Horses are an expensive luxury, and owners always have choices. Abandonment shouldn't be one of them, and it needs to be a crime. You're just shifting the expense to someone else. What I like about Senate Bill 398 is it allows local agencies to recover costs. Now we have a procedure in place that allows local agencies to seek recovery of the costs incurred for the care of those horses. Without it, it's just a burden. And then what do we do with it? There are so many horses in this state that don't have adequate care. Let's not add them to the BLM lands, the national forest lands, the state forest lands, or your neighbor's property or your property. It's a choice people have, and they need to make a compassionate choice to find another home for the horse. You know, that Scott Beck said's right. There are limited options for horse owners. And they have less economic to zero economic value, and that's what puts their lives at risk. This is about money. This is about responsibility, and it's about choice. And we hope you'll choose to support Senate Bill 398.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you very much. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 398. Open a work session on Senate Bill 398.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnett.
I move Senate Bill 398 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Wisnett moves 398 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Is there any question or discussion? Representative Smith.
One thing I just want to put on the record, and while they're here, also want to hear about what programs are working on to, you know, the adoption programs, et cetera. I know that it offered. I don't know if any other legislator is interested, but there's been some interest in maybe seeing about adopting one of the abandoned animals and be interested in finding out more than that. But I intend to vote yes, obviously, on the bill.
Okay, thank you. Call the roll, please.
Representative Barton?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Vice Chair Stigler?
Excused.
Vice Chair Whitman?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Smith, can you carry that one for us?
Yes, happy to.
Okay, thank you.
Go with the beast.
Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 299.
Senate Bill 209, as amended, allows the court to remove all domestic animals from the residence of a person who has been convicted of unlawfully possessing domestic animals as sexual assault and animal fighting offenses to offenses that bar possession of domestic animals for 5 years after conviction, as dog fighting and cock fighting to the offenses that bar possession of a domestic animal for 15 years after conviction, designates unlawful possession of a Class C misdemeanor with the maximum fine of $1,250 or and 30 days jail. There's no revenue impact, minimal fiscal, with no statement issued.
Okay, thank you. Sharon Harmon and Bonnie Helzer, please.
We passed the bill on the House like this. Just puppy mills.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, I feel like I'm in a bad movie here. My name is Sharon Harmon.
Groundhog Day.
Executive Director of the Oregon Humane Society. We're a local animal protection organization unaffiliated with any national or local group, including the Humane Society of the United States. Senate Bill 299 is a technical bill that just rolls up the other animal crimes into the statute that says if you abuse an animal, you can't own domestic animals for 5 years for misdemeanor crimes and for 15 years for felony crimes. And what was missed in the first go-around when the original statute was passed was the most serious crimes. The animal fighting crimes got left out, and this is a housekeeping bill that pulls it in. But we've had some reminders lately that we need to do this and we need to fix this bill. And the problem with it being an unclassified misdemeanor caused some judges and district attorneys to throw up their hands and go, we don't know what to do this, so we're not going to do anything, and he can have his dog back. And we think that Senate Bill 299's housekeeping bill, we hope it'll pass. Thank you.
And if I'm not mistaken, unclassified misdemeanor makes it the same as a Class A.
Right. That's correct.
Yeah. Mr. Chair?
Representative Krieger.
It says domestic animals. That includes goldfish, hamsters, rats, snakes, and monkeys.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Krieger, I'm not sure what the exotic animal legislation, whether monkeys are classified as domestic. They might be classified as an exotic, but with respect to all the other species you've mentioned, yes, it is.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, my name is Bonnie Helzer. I'm a special agent for the Oregon Humane Society. Prior to this, I was a traditional police officer for almost 8 years. I know from my experience with laws that have any incongruities as far as how, you know, what classification they are, that the judges are often, as Ms. Harmon said, don't know what to do with them. So this is kind of a housekeeping bill to make it very clear to law enforcement and our district attorneys and judges what to do with this. I mainly wanted to mention that this law comes into play in my job a lot, as far as I wish it would have been clear many, many times ago. There was a 2007 case involving a little pit bull named Lucy. The suspect in her case was convicted of animal abuse for kicking, slapping, punching, and stepping on her paws. She was not returned to the woman, and Department of Human Services even removed her child. Yet one of the dogs, Bandit, was still allowed to stay in the home because he allegedly belonged to the suspect's husband. You can be certain that she still exercised care and control over this animal, and I'm sure upon follow-up we could have removed Bandit or any other newly acquired animals in the home with the help of this bill, and or maybe with stronger language in the statute, Bandit would never have been allowed to go back to that suspect home to begin with. So that's what I'd like to see happen. And I encourage you to support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. I think I see another gaping hole in this. So I can keep my horse after I've abused it, because you don't mention it. Only says domestic animals. So what I believe I'll do is I'll close the hearing on this today. We're going to look for an amendment to close that door, so that somebody who's a horse abuser can't keep the horse because it's not a domestic animal.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, many states have that provision, and they include livestock in those. One case I worked at in California. Man was drunk, took an axe, tried to beat the horse senseless, then he tried to shoot it, and because he kept missing, he woke got the neighbors involved. Thankfully, he didn't kill the horse, but the judge says, well, you've been convicted of animal abuse in the first degree, and now give him his horse back. In Oregon, that can still happen, because horses are not considered a domestic animal. They're considered livestock. Mm-hmm. I would welcome the opportunity to work with you on that.
Yeah, I think we'll carve out the horse on that, but not other livestock. Is there any other questions?
What's wrong with livestock? I mean, you think cattle are dumber than horses, or horses?
I do think cattle are dumber than horses. We'll take a look at. Be careful there. We'll take a look at that. I don't want to separate you from your sheep. Believe me, that's not intended.
You know what? You're not going to get any hamburger.
Okay. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 299.
Wow.
Open a work session on Senate Bill 218.
Got to be a rule against that.
First heard Senate Bill 218 on April 29th. We now have, on the May 4th, we have the fiscal and revenue statements back for the Dash 2 amendments. There's minimal expenditure, no statement issued, and no revenue impact, so it's ready to be worked.
Well, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 218 to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson moves Senate Bill 218 as amended to the floor with the due pass. Is there any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Barton.
Aye.
Representative Cameron.
Aye.
Representative Garrett.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Shields.
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Vice Chair Stigler?
Excuse.
Vice Chair Wisnitz?
Excuse.
Chair Barker?
Aye. Motion carries. I'll carry that one. Okay. Is there any further business coming before the committee today? Thank you, committee. Meeting adjourned. Remember, no meetings for the next 2 days. Great.